This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Dramatic pause. A dramatic pause says something without saying anything at all. Dramatic pause is a go-to for podcasters, presidents, and radio voiceovers. It makes you look really smart, even if you're not. Feet deserve a go-to like that. Like Hey Dude shoes. Light, comfy, good to go to.
The share it with a friend deal. Even if that friend is yourself. Your McDonald's, your rules.
Live your best morning with BOGO breakfast sandwiches only on the McDonald's app. Now buy one bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles or sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and get a second one free. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Limited time only at participating McDonald's. Valid one per day. Excludes $1, $2, $3 menu. Visit McDonald's app for details. Download and registration required. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Kevin Markey from Leeds United. Matt, this is our preview match of Fulham versus Leeds United. Just a preview show, not preview match. There's a Goldman to start off the show, Kevin. I look forward to talking to Kevin during this show, but before we do anything else, Kevin, happy birthday. It's Kevin's birthday. He's joining me on his birthday to preview this match. Thank you so much for coming on, Kevin.
Guilty as charged, Russ. Yeah, it's my birthday today, so can't do anything about that, but here we go, yeah.
Okay, my friend. Well, listen, this is going to be a very interesting match on Friday night at Craven Cottage, and we'll talk about the time the teams played up at Ellen Road in just a bit, but I just want to get you just your overall view. Let's start with just getting your thoughts on Leeds United's season so far. You and I were talking off air. It doesn't seem right. You know, it doesn't seem like we're both in the Premier League because of the pandemic. You and I were talking about it. It just doesn't seem the way it's supposed to feel, right? But just give me your overall feeling on Leeds United's season so far.
Yeah, but back in the big time after, for us, it's been 16 years. Obviously, it's been a very long time since we've been in the Premier League. And to sort of watch it not being able to go to games is a real gut wrencher, really. And having to, it's a privilege to watch it on TV. Don't get me wrong. It's great that they've sorted all that out where you can watch it on TV. But it's just not quite the same, really, missing out on games. And the atmosphere at the games are so, you know, lackluster, really. There's no crowd noise, really. And even the fake noise doesn't sound really real as such. So, yeah, it's not quite the same. But overall, you know, we've done okay. Not
really. Yeah, you've done better than okay.
We've done all right. We're on 35 points. We're in a good position with 10 games to go. So I can't really complain. With Leeds, when we win in style. When we lose, we seem to lose in style as well.
Right.
We don't seem to draw many games. So the draw at Chelsea was a big surprise. Against Chelsea on Saturday was a big surprise. I thought we defended really well, to be fair. And maybe the last 10 games are going to show more draws. Who knows? Where we realise we're not going to win the game by playing the way we play. Let's settle for a point instead, which is not Bielsa's way by all means. But I think he's learning now that maybe a point is a good point, really, when if you can't win. So it's better than losing at the end of the day. And I think a few more points and we'll be guaranteed more or less safety. So overall, it's been great. But like you say, Russ, it's not quite the same as, you know, with the crowds there. It's lacking that atmosphere. But you watch what you watch. You can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And overall, you know, we've had 11 victories, 13 defeats. So, you know, like I say, we don't really do draws as such. But I think most Leeds fans are quite happy that we're back and we're doing, you know, we're doing okay. You know, that's all we can do, really.
Right. You're back in the Premier League. And I want to just go a little bit deeper into this because I certainly want to get your thoughts on Bielsa. But before I do that, because like you said, it does seem a little bit feast or famine. Kevin, does that really come down to Bielsa's approach? Does it really come down to this is how he plays? What we would say here with different teams and different sports, we do what we do. That seems like the Bielsa way. He does what he does. He cares about what Leeds United do. He doesn't really care as much about what the opponent's going to do to him. So is that really just the approach? It's we're going to win, and we're either going to win 4-0 or we might lose 3-0. Is that kind of the mindset?
That seems to be his philosophy, Russ, yeah. You know, which is a bit of a gung-ho one, I suppose. But, yeah, even if we're winning 3-0, he wants to get that fourth goal. He wants to get the fifth goal. If we're losing 3-0, he wants to get a goal back to get back into the game. It's just this philosophy of playing football. He just keep attacking and see what happens. If we lose, we lose. He loves playing from the back, from the goalkeeper.
Yep.
Irrespective of how the game's going, that's the way he does it. I mean, I don't know if you saw the Arsenal game, but the young goalkeeper made an error for a penalty there when he was playing from the back, but he didn't chastise him or say he was wrong. He kept him in the team. He says, that's the way I expect him to play, so I'm not going to blame him for that because that's what I want him to do. And it's the same with the whole team, really. Just pass the ball to death. Make as many chances as you can, score as many goals as you can. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. We'll just go on to the next game and try again. It's just the way Bielsa, you know, plays football. We love the guy. We think he's great. He's been fantastic for us. He's got us back into the Premier League after 16 years. We're not complaining at all about the way he plays, really. We're just enjoying the ride while he's there, and we're just hoping that he stays longer than what he has at any other club. He stayed at Leeds now longer than all the clubs he's been with. He's over 115 games or so he's been with us now, which is more than any other side. So that augurs well for the future. So hopefully, he'll stay for next season as well. There's no guarantees with Bielsa. We all know that he could leave at a drop of a hat because that's where he is. But I think he genuinely loves the club. He genuinely loves the fans, the area. He's got no reason to want to leave. It's a gung-ho approach that we've got used to. We might win 4-0, we might lose 4-0. But at the end of the day, like the match of the day, guys say, you know, we're entertaining.
You're entertaining. That's the word I was just looking for. You're entertaining.
Which is something that you wouldn't associate with Leeds all those years back. But at this moment in time, you know, lovers or loathers, we are entertaining. And
you are. There's no question about that.
It's always a game worth watching, even if it's a 0-0. You know, there's plenty of chances made and plenty of chances missed. Like the Chelsea game at the weekend, everybody was expecting a goal fest. But Chelsea haven't been scoring that many goals recently, and we haven't been scoring any either. So maybe 0-0 wasn't a big surprise, but we defended quite well in that game. It shows, I know people, Liverpool fans have been complaining about all the centre-back pairings they've had over the season, but we've had maybe just as many different centre-back pairings as well, and we've just had to cope with what we've got. And Bielsa doesn't moan about anything. He just gets on with it. He picks, he likes a small squad, 15, 18 players that he can choose week in, week out.
Nothing's really changed there, right, Kevin? I mean, it's still the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Players play in different positions. I mean, Stuart Dallas is a good example. He can play, you tell him to play in a position, he'll give 100% in that position and he'll do okay. He's just that sort of guy. And we've had a left back who's not a left back for a lot of the season, Alioski. And
yeah,
it's just, you know, he expects his players to play in positions that he expects them to do well in. And
right,
that's the way he does things. And, you know, you've got to respect the guy for that. He doesn't bring in, you know, he doesn't. We've had injuries during the course of the season. I mean, everybody has injuries, obviously. Right. But he didn't panic in the January window and brought in 2-3 other players. He just said, "Right, what I've got is okay, and I'll just get on with it." And he has done, to be fair. And, you know, we applaud him for that.
Okay, well, that's going to lead me to ask you about key players as we look ahead to this upcoming match. And here's an interesting player that I really want your thoughts on, because I want to focus a little bit on this. You know, definitely up front, you know, you bring in this striker, he's not hitting on all cylinders. I read about this in an article this week, but I want to focus more on Patrick Bamford, who's apparently going to play. He picked up a knock in the last match. I expect him to play, and I think all signs are that he will play. Let's talk about his journey with Leeds United. It's fascinating because he's really just getting the job done. You're talking about players that are just playing a role. Well, Bamford's role is to score goals, and he's certainly doing that. He's proved that he can do it at this level, Kevin. Has it surprised you?
It has, in a way, to be fair, because he was a competent championship player. He scored 16 goals or so last season. Could have got a lot more with the chances he had, and everybody thought, is he the man to carry Leeds in the Premier League? And there were a lot of doubts, not just from Leeds fans, obviously, from other fans in general, that he wouldn't really be able to cope. I mean, he had Premier League experience with Middlesbrough and a couple of other clubs, but he never really played that many games. If you look at his total of games, he never had the opportunity. Like Bielsa's actually kept faith in him and given him the opportunity to play in the Premier League, and he has taken the chance. He's not your standard sort of centre forward, really, because, you know, he presses forward, he presses the other team's defence, he goes out wide sometimes, makes holes for the other players to come into, and he chips in with his fair share of goals as well. Obviously, he's missed a few here and there, but every striker does. But, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of expectancy today that he'd be called up for the England squad, and
right.
Apparently, he just missed out by a whisker to Ollie Watkins. Southgate went for Ollie Watkins instead. His reasoning being that he does the press a lot better than Bamford,
which seems
a bit of a poor excuse, really, because Bamford's really good at doing that. But in a way, you know, we're disappointed he hasn't got his chance of a first England cap. But in a way, we're glad as well, because that means he's not playing extra games.
And I was going to say, for you,
he might get injured towards the run-in as well. So,
right, exactly. We'd rather
we'd rather have him fit for Leeds for the last 10 games. You know, being a bit greedy. Hopefully, he'll have more opportunity in the summer to get another opportunity. But at this moment in time,
right,
he's our main striker and we want him fit for the last 10 games. So, you know, being a bit selfish there. But that's the way most Leeds fans are thinking at the moment, I think.
Okay, well, I have a question from you from Steve Reynolds. And this involves Patrick Bamford. Many Leeds fans were anti-Bamford. Is that the same now? And what has changed for Bamford?
I wouldn't say many Leeds fans. There might have been, obviously, a few fans doubting if he'd be the right man for the role. I don't think anything's changed. Bielsa has complete faith in him as a striker, as a player. And I don't think, you know, I think he's repaid that faith, really, this season.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he's been really, you know, really awesome as a striker. And that people look at his goals, but it's his work rate in general, really. He works so hard for the side during 90 minutes. And you can't fault his attitude towards the games. I think he's loving it because he's back in the Premier League.
Yeah.
He's got a manager that has complete faith in him as a player. You know, he's got everything going for him at the moment, and I don't think he'd change anything at all. And with 10 games to go, I think he's got the capability to be a 20 goal a season striker in, wow. in this league, and I think he'll achieve that with the games remaining. And like I say, being selfish again, I'm glad yeah. maybe he's got nothing else to concentrate on other than Leeds at the moment, and hopefully he'll be fit for tomorrow night, and he'll put in a decent performance again.
Well, this might sound strange, but I actually want him to be fit because I want Fulham to play against the best.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
want that. That's just the way that I am, you know. And again, there's a part of me that always says, well, you know, again, it's an advantage if certain players are in. But if you really think about it, you want your team to beat the best team. And the best team includes Patrick Bamford in for Leeds United. But let's go back, and here's another comment that I'm very curious your thoughts on. This is from Bradford Guth. Everyone says Leeds will run out of gas. Now, I'm used to this from a couple seasons ago, but hasn't happened. Is team fitter, smarter? What are your thoughts on this? Because I find this interesting. They did not run out of gas last season. I know we had the pandemic, but it happened the season prior. But what is the difference now for Leeds United? Do you think that they are fitter? Do you think that Bielsa is managing it any differently? I don't think so, but what are your thoughts about Leeds not running out of gas?
I think the difference this season, Russ, is that now we've got 38 games to concentrate on. Last two seasons, we've had 46 games to concentrate on.
This is very true.
I agree in a way. Maybe the first season we did run out of gas a bit in the playoffs against Derby County, but you know that could have gone either way, that game. Now, last season, the little gap in between games might have helped us. Might have helped other teams as well, but I think Bielsa has that. People do remember his previous seasons at other clubs where they did run out of gas. I think Bilbao might be a good example where they were challenging for the title at the time in La Liga, and they were in two cup competitions, and they run out of steam a little bit in the league, got to the final, but they looked like they were jaded a little bit and lost. So maybe that reputation has come with him a little bit to Leeds, that he does push the players so hard in training.
And they play with this intensity for 90-plus minutes.
Yeah, the intensity of the games and the non-stop running. They're running. You know, a good example of it is the third goal at Leicester City when, you know, we were 2-1 up and the game was coming towards the end, and Bamford just made a run for the goal. And Harrison kept up with him all the way, and he passed the ball to Harrison and he made it 3-1. The fact that Harrison had that much steam to keep up with him in the 92nd minute, whatever it was, shows you how fit these players are, really. I mean, he could have said, oh, we won the game anyway. You just run the ball in the corner and it'll be okay. But Leeds, you know, they're running for 95, 96 minutes, however long the game lasts. And that's all down to the training that he does. I haven't obviously seen the training session, but I've heard that they're so intense. Yeah, everybody just.
I've seen the documentary. I've seen that, and it looks intense. And and listen, it's paying off because I keep saying, well, they're going to run out of gas. I've said that last season, it didn't happen. But you know, like you said, some of it might be reputation. But when you work that hard, you think eventually you got to see the other side of it. But if they're that fit, then maybe you don't. Maybe you've just trained your body to be able to play this way. And we're going to talk about that intensity in just a bit because Scott Parker had some interesting comments about Leeds United, and I'm going to share a couple of them with you, Kevin. But before we do that, I want to go back. You and I were talking about this off air because it was so long ago. And it's funny because I was going back to look at the team that started in this match. Half the players weren't starting that are starting now. And it was a completely different Fulham side. I believe Areola just started playing with Fulham very recently. Same thing with Kenny Tete. And but it's certainly not the same team. Defensively, it's certainly not the same team. And I'm curious, can we take anything out of this, or do we just throw it away and just say, listen, both teams have progressed? Can we learn anything from that, or was it just too long ago, Kevin? I'm curious your view on that.
I don't know about yours, but the game at Elland Road, it just reminded me of the Championship game, really, the previous season. It just had a Championship feel about it.
It did.
All the players, most of them were involved in the Championship game literally a few weeks before that at Elland Road.
That's right. That's right.
So, yeah, it didn't really have a Premier feel about it, even though it was a Premier game. So, yeah, I mean, it came across like that. But it, whilst we're more or less stayed the same over that period of time, I think Fulham have changed a lot over the months.
Yep.
And you can tell that by the amount of clean sheets they're keeping at the moment, yep. which is really good for them. They kept, what, 6 clean sheets in the last 11 league games, which is amazing, really.
It's crazy, you know.
Premier League opposition and they're keeping clean sheets. It's yeah. absolutely a fantastic achievement. I mean, well, I wish we could do that, keep clean sheets. But I don't think, I know Melier's kept.
I wish we scored more goals, Kevin. So it's kind of like a little bit of each because, again, Fulham are lacking the goals.
It's Shin and Yang. And
you guys are scoring the goals, but you're giving up the goals. So you guys are like, you know, it's. You kind of want what you don't already have, you know, and you want your side to be more better defensively, but and I want my side to score more goals. It's it's crazy. But listen, this is going to be an interesting match, and I look forward to it. But before I share some comments from Scott Park, I just want to get your overall view on Fulham, and I don't know how much you've had a chance to watch them, but like I mentioned, if Leeds United fans are watching this and they haven't seen Fulham since then. It's a very different team. I just want to mention that we're very different. Many of the players are gone, as you talked about the clean sheets, but it just does not seem like the same team. Like you said, it seemed like a championship team at Elland Road for Fulham. We're a Premier League team now.
I
think that's the progression, but I'm curious your view on Fulham.
I think the key switch, I think, that Park has done really is Dimitrovic hasn't been playing as it that regularly recently.
This is correct.
I think because he doesn't want the long balls just being thrown into the area anymore. He wants to play the ball into positions.
Yep.
And I think that's the key change to how they are.
They play with pace.
Yeah, they've improved doing that over the last sort of few weeks. And now they've got into a great position now where they've got a great opportunity of getting out of the bottom three if they get some good results now in the last remainder of the season. And teams above them are obviously getting a little bit worried now that obviously they could be dragged into the bottom three. But I think the key situation for me, or the key change, has been Mitrovic not featuring as much as he did over the last maybe a couple of seasons. I mean, Luckman has looked outstanding in a lot of the games as well. He looks a real good signing. And for me, he does drive the team forward a lot. Like you said, maybe they are lacking goals, but if they can keep a clean sheet, they've always got a chance of winning or picking up a point.
And that's what I've always said, Kevin.
Yeah.
If you have that defensive foundation, hopefully the goals will come. They still really haven't come. But the potential is there, so I'm glad that you had mentioned that. Okay, coming up next, I'm going to share some comments, some quotes from Scott Parker, get Kevin's thoughts on that, and we will finish up by breaking down this match and predicting it. Okay, Kevin, I'm going to share a couple of quotes from Scott Parker. This comes from the presser. It actually came over the Fulham Twitter account, so they're directly from the Fulham Twitter account. So I'm going to break it up into two parts. Here are some of Parker's thoughts on Leeds United. So I'm going to share this. And I also want to say that there's more to it. He also talks about the intensity in another quote in regards to Leeds United. I'm paraphrasing, but it's going to be a challenge to keep up with that intensity. But here's the first part that I want to share with you. This is from Scott Parker. Quote, Leeds are a unique side in the way they play. They commit a lot of bodies. That can cause stress. But there's a flip side, where you can get to them through counters, unquote. Okay, I want to get your thoughts on this. And again, like I mentioned, Parker also talks about really having to deal with that intensity. What are your thoughts about, I guess you could say, the two sides? I think this talks about the two sides of Leeds United, that they're going to commit a lot. They're going to attack, attack, attack. But it does leave them open.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that about Leeds over the last three seasons, Russ. But we commit so much forward that if a pass goes astray or somebody makes a good tackle and they can move forward so quickly that we could be out of position and get caught out. I mean, that's happened on plenty of occasions over the last three seasons. Whether that's a weakness or not, maybe it is, but we commit so many players going forward. Yeah, we can be easily caught on the counter. I mean, Chelsea did that a few times on Saturday, but
yep.
Thankfully we've got this guy called Calvin Phillips who is like a rock at the back, and he doesn't stray too far forward, thankfully. So he's always there to mop up passes or, you know, play. He might put in a great tackle to sort of counter that as well.
Right.
So, yeah, but I agree with Parker. That is we are unique in the way we play. We do
very unique
commit, but yeah, there's always an opportunity. If you've got the right players that can break us down, then you've got an opportunity to score. So it's okay saying that. It's actually doing it on the park, isn't it, really? If he can achieve that, then fair play to him as well. If he can, you know, counter and score a goal, then, yeah, he's done his job, basically. So that is something for him. What he's saying is true. That does happen. But it's putting it into practice over that 90 minutes, really. And
Exactly. It's one thing to say, but they have to execute it.
Yeah, exactly.
And, and that to me will be the rub of the match. Can Fulham take advantage of those counter opportunities that they will get? If they can, they have a really good chance of winning. If they don't, it could go the other way. So that to me is going to be the really interesting part of this. Well, how can Fulham counter all of the pressure that Leeds are going to put Fulham under? Okay. Now this talks a little bit more about Fulham. This is also from Scott Parker. Again, I get this right from the official Fulham Football Club Twitter account from the presser. Quote, "We're a different animal this time. We've moved on since September. We need to do our job and get a result. We can't take our eye off Friday," unquote. Okay. Now, he's been trying to really just concentrate on Fulham and not really the opponent. But this also tells me that he understands the importance of this match, Kevin. So what are your thoughts about what Parker said here?
Yeah, we sort of more or less agreed on that a little while ago, Russ. We moved on. Both teams have moved on a little bit since September from that championship sort of atmosphere in the game. We've played more Premier League teams now that we haven't played in a little while. And I think we have moved on a little bit. I mean, Fulham definitely have with their change of players in the team. We've more or less kept the same side, to be fair, over the course of the season. We've just had problems with the centre backs, because obviously when one centre back gets injured, another one comes in. We've had different pairings over the course of the season, but I can see what he's saying in his position. They've been in the bottom three now for a little while, but they've had opportunities to get out of the bottom three, and when it's push comes to shove, they just sort of missed out on that. But maybe he's seeing tomorrow's game as an ideal opportunity now to actually put that into practice and, put themselves into a good position with a few games to go. So I can see what he's saying. He's got to G up the team and get them motivated for this game, because it is an important game.
It is.
For both teams, really. We've got to consolidate our position in mid-table as well and not get dragged into anything.
Sure.
So I agree with him. Yeah, it's an important game. We can't take our eyes off it.
Okay.
For sure. Great. It's a very important game. And I, for one, can't really predict how it's going to go at the moment. But you can't disagree with what he's saying. You know, he's saying the right things for the players. And like I said before, he's got to put things into practice on the pitch now. And that's the key thing to do.
And I guess we're going to find out Friday night, my friend. All right. I'm going to put you in the shoes of Bielsa, okay? How does Leeds United win this match? It sounds like I'm probably putting words in your mouth. Just do what Leeds United do and just show that intensity and just attack Fulham.
I think what we've got to do, Russ, initially, is pretend that we're in a Leeds hotel on Friday morning, not in London.
I don't get this thing with Leeds United in London. I don't understand it.
I don't understand it either. I mean, the last time we beat Fulham in a sort of, well, First Division Premier League game was back in 1968. We haven't beat Fulham in a Premier League game.
Oh, Kevin, I don't like these records because records were meant to be broken. I actually don't like these records.
And we haven't scored in a few games now either. We seem to be dry goal-wise, but... And yeah, what you said though, Rush, he's not going to change his style, is he? He's not going to put, you know, five defenders at the back and hope for the best and get a draw. It's just not his way of doing things. He's going to go out and say, right, this is how we win this game. Go out and put things into practice like you've been doing. If we win, we win. If we don't, then we move on to the next game. But he's not going to change tactics. He's not going to change, you know, play with a false number nine or put five at the back and put two defensive midfielders in the team. It's just not his style. He respects form. He respects Scott Parker.
Yeah.
He respects the opposition, and Fulham is the opposition on Friday. And he does respect, I mean, they've got some great players in that Fulham team. You know, Parker's done a great job to galvanise the team, really, over the last sort of couple of months. And everybody would think that Mitrovic is the main guy. I mean, but at this moment in time, he's not. You know,
don't know if he fits on and how Parker wants to play, Kevin. I think that's what it comes down to. I keep saying that in sometimes in certain matches, I think he fits, but in many matches, I don't think he really fits the way Parker wants to play. I honestly don't know if he fits against Leeds United the way I think this match is going to go. I think he needs pace up front, and that's not Mitrovic. And I think part of it is that Mitrovic tends to or could slow them down a little bit. Like you said, we're not really playing long balls. That's not really what we're going to be doing. So how does that? It doesn't really play to Mitro's strengths, and we're not getting enough crosses into the box. Good crosses to play to his strengths. Well, part of this isn't on Mitrovic. I got to tell you.
Well, Cordova Reid obviously is a class player. He's been pulling the strings in midfield a lot. One of my favorite Fulham players at the moment, I must admit, is Harrison Reid. I think
Harrison Reid has done a fantastic job.
I'd love to see him in a Leeds shirt. He's so good at he's so good at stopping play, creating play. I love to see how many kilometers he runs in a game.
Well, what's funny about it, Kevin, he would actually fit into your side the way he plays.
Yeah, yeah.
It actually does make sense.
Yeah, that's where, I always say
I hope Marco Bielsa's not watching this.
I hope he doesn't think the same as us, But I only say that, Russ, because I know that a lot of Leeds fans, every time they watch a Fulham game on TV, he's the guy that they mention. You know, he's always
I understand that.
He always works hard. He creates. He passes the ball to a flair player like Lookman or whatever, or Cordova Reid, and I'm impressed with this Anderson guy at the back as well.
Oh, he's been fantastic, Kevin.
I think he's galvanized the back four as well. He looks really good.
He's been our captain while Kearney's been out.
Yeah, I don't know how much. I don't know how to pronounce his surname, but Sambo Angolosi is it? He's on the bench. He played with Bielsa at Marseille.
Ibiza.
That's him.
Zembo Ibiza,
He knows Bielsa from his Marseille days. Yeah. So they'll probably have a bit of a catch-up tomorrow as well. But you're getting players like Ream and Brian who were regulars, and Hector maybe last season were regulars in the team.
And now you don't see him at all? Nope.
Because he's realised that he's got to have a Premier League outlook on the games now.
Right.
And players like Anderson, Cordova Reid, even Lamina and Harrison Reid, they've all stepped up, haven't they, this season? And that's the reason why now, where a few months ago they would look a bit doomed, and maybe along with West Brom and Sheffield United, you might not think they had a chance of getting out of the position. But he's done so well now to get them on the cusp of getting out of the bottom three.
Right.
That they've got they've got a great chance of doing it with the right results now coming up.
Listen, Kevin, I completely agree with you, and I think you analyzed Fulham's season well, and you're a Leeds United supporter, that it really goes back to pretty much having mostly a championship side if we go back to those early stages in the season. Parker and the powers that be at Fulham realizing, you know what, we need Premier League level players to play a certain way. And some players could transition from the championship, like you just mentioned, Harrison Reed.
Yeah.
But they've been, and even Bobby Decadova Reed can actually, again, I love Bobby Decadova Reed. He can play at this level as well. But many of them cannot. They were championship players. So he had to bring in all these players. And it took a while for it to gel. So that's kind of where we are right now. But very good stuff. And it's funny because while you were saying that, I was thinking about key players for Fulham against Leeds United. I think you got to start with Harrison Reed. I think Harrison Reed is going to be vital in this match. Trying to get control of this match is going to be very difficult. And I think he will be extremely important. You mentioned Anguissa. Anguissa could be, or it might actually be Mario Lemina. It'll be interesting to see the starting 11 that Parker goes with, because at times he's gone with Lemina, at times he's gone with Anguissa. And what was interesting in the last match, he man-marked the midfield against Man City for one half. It actually worked. He played Anguissa, Lemina, and Harrison Reed all together. Mm-hmm. And it actually worked. It worked well. So, all right.
We haven't mentioned him at the moment, but obviously Loftus Cheek as well. He's a good midfield player.
He's a good midfield player. But I will tell you this, and that he is the most polarizing player at football club right now. I'm just telling you, because and I think part of it has to do with the fact that we're expecting the Ruben Loftus-Cheek from Crystal Palace a couple seasons ago.
He got
injured, and I think it's taken time, and also to work himself into the system with Parker, and he's not scoring the goals. But at times you could see the quality, Kevin. Yeah. But I think the fact that he's not scoring the goals. Yeah. And that we're not seeing it on a consistent basis. That's why he splits the supporters. It really does. I mean, you ask a Fulham supporter about Ruben Loftus-Cheek, you're probably going to have a 50-minute conversation about him. And I kid you not. So, and outside of Fulham, you know, the media don't get it. The media think that he's this. But if you watch him each and every week, you kind of would understand why the fans are split on him. Anyways, let's get into it, my friend. Let's get to your starting 11 and formation.
I don't think there's going to be many changes, really, from the Chelsea game, to be honest, Russ. If Bamford's fit, obviously, there's no decisions to make, really. We're going to remain with the same team, I reckon. And I know Rodrigo came on as an early sub there for Bamford after about 30 minutes because he had a bit of a dead leg.
Yep.
But it's debatable if Rodrigo's going to be fit for tomorrow anyway. So we're hoping it's going to be the same 11 that started on Saturday against Chelsea with Llorente at the back.
Yep.
With Phillips obviously playing central defensive midfield again. Obviously, Melier in goal. Ayling, who was touted for an England call today as well, but missed out on it. Would have been amazing if Luke Ayling had been called up. He's been one of our best players against this season. But I think he'll start with more or less the same team. Alioski on the left as well. Dallas will be in midfield with Phillips and Harrison. And obviously, our main man again this season now is one of the fans' favourites, Rafinha.
Yep.
I think he'll be, obviously, he picks himself these days. He's so good. And obviously, Bamford up top as well. There's not going to be many changes, really, from the last game. I'll be very surprised if anything changes too much.
Yep. And Ben, this is just, again, we started the show talking about this. It looks like Bamford is going to play tomorrow based on what Kevin and I are hearing. So
I think Bielsa's getting quite cammy with his press conferences as well. Remember, you'll probably remember us when he was in the championship. He used to name the team. He used to name the team on a Thursday. Give everybody the team.
Well, Parker's getting like that too. Parker, you know, again, Parker, you know, I wouldn't truly believe exactly what he says at these press conferences because I think he does it on purpose. I think I think he is trying to get a little bit of a competitive advantage. I think a lot of these managers are playing head games with the other manager. I truly believe that they're doing that.
I mentioned that because he said last week that Pascal, I didn't mention him in the team formation, but he will play again with Llorente at the back. His Pascal Struijk was he's deciding whether he wants to play for Belgium or the Netherlands at the moment. He's such a top prospect. He's only 21, but he will be a top centre-back in years to come, I believe. Last week, he says he's got no chance of playing against Chelsea. He'll probably play for the under-23s next week to get his fitness back. And lo and behold, on Saturday, he gets named in the team. So Bielsa's playing little games again, but obviously this time he's saying players won't play, and then they turn up on the team sheet. So, Strike and Llorente look quite solid against Chelsea. I mean, Llorente is a Spanish international at the end of the day, and he's probably played three games in a row now, and I think his fitness looks good. After a ropey start with us where he was out injured for a lot of the time. But I think they look a solid centre-back partnership. And like I said before, I think he's going to be more or less the same team that started against Chelsea on Saturday. No big changes.
Okay. I'm going to give you my thoughts on Fulham. And, I think Fulham are going to do exactly what Scott Parker is kind of – telling us what he's going to do. I think this is going to be a match where they're just going to try to beat Leeds United on the counter. They're going to pick their spots. I think they're going to try to make it difficult on Leeds United, but when they get their opportunities, I think they're going to break. And I think that is what they're going to try to do. And I'm going to base my starting 11 on pace, because I think that's going to be very important on this. Well, and I'll also say a little bit of balance too. So I'm going to go for Areola as the goalkeeper, and certainly not changing there. I'm going to put Kenny Tete as your right back. Left back is interesting because I was going back and forth on this. I'm going to say Ola Aina because he gives you stability. He's not as forward-thinking as Anthony Robinson. He could go Anthony Robinson, but I'm going to go Aina. Then the center-back pairing has been great, Kevin. It really has been fantastic with Joakim Andersen and Tosin Adebayo. This is where it gets interesting, talking about central midfield. I'm going to go with kind of a 4-2-3-1. I'm going to say it's going to be Harrison Reed, and I'm going to go Mario Lemina instead of Anguissa. I think this is a Mario Lemina match. I could be wrong. And then I'm going to say Ruben Loftus-Cheek will play that number 10 role. I'm going to say one side is going to be Ivan Cavallaro, and talk about a player that fans are split on, Ivan Cavallaro. And again, I understand that. I would say more fans think that he's a championship player, and I kind of understand that because he's not a finisher, but he has a role in the way Parker wants to play, and I think this is his role. And I'm going to have Adam Ola-Lookman on one side, and I'm going to have Maja up front. So that's what I'm going to go with. And I'm not going to go with Mitrovic. So I'm going to go with basically a 4-2-3-1. That could morph, but that's what I'm going to. Okay, my friend.
Okay.
Let's finish up. And before I get your predictions, and if you're watching live, feel free to share your predictions of this match. Kevin, I told you this off air. I listened to the Phil Hay podcast this morning. Because I wanted his thoughts. Phil works for The Athletic and covers Leeds United for The Athletic. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna listen to this. And I kind of went right to talking about the match. And Phil cut to the chase. And you said he doesn't normally do this. So I'm gonna share this. Phil Hay from The Athletic predicts Leeds United will win handsomely. And I'm thinking, what? I don't know if they're going to win handsomely. Can they win the match? Yes, but Fulham don't give up many goals. I understand how attacking Leeds United are, but the only team that I really fear offensively, even including Liverpool, Chelsea, and Arsenal, and I'll put you in that same category offensively, is, again, the only team that really scares me that I think can score multiple goals is Manchester City, because that's how good they are.
I agree.
When I saw this from Phil and I tweeted this out, Kevin, I said, Phil Hayes being a little bit overconfident, bulletin board material for Fulham. I said, please, thank you. Thank you, Phil. But again, listen, he covers the team. He's back on the team. My only question is, Phil, if you watch this, How often have you watched Fulham? That's all I'm going to say. How often? Because we're not the same team from the beginning of the season. Okay, enough of me going off on that, Kevin. Kevin, I want your prediction for this match, and I'll share mine. And if the fans have shared their predictions, I'll share them as well.
Very tough for us, I think. All I can say is that our record in London is fairly pathetic over the last, 16 games or so.
Yep.
One shining light for me is Patrick Bamford is another stat coming up now. He's played 15 league games on a Friday in his career, and he scored 12 goals.
Oh, that's not good for me.
Okay. So I'm hoping Patrick plays tomorrow, but I would settle. I mean, not something Leeds are renowned for this season, but I'll settle for a 1-1 draw tomorrow night.
Okay.
He puts us on 36 points. Nice position to be in. Gives Fulham a point as well. I don't begrudge Fulham a point. I want them to be in the Premier League next season as well. I like Fulham. I like Craven Cottage. I like the whole aura of the club. So I wouldn't mind a point. Obviously, 3 would be nice. It's my birthday today. It'd be a nice birthday present tomorrow. 3 points would be superb. Puts us in a great position now, then, going into Sheffield United at home in a couple of weeks. But I'll settle for 1-1. I'm not greedy. 1-1. Share my birthday present with Fulham.
Okay. All right. I'm going to share a couple comments before I share mine. Kamal says, I feel it's going to be a frustrating 1-1 going with you, Kevin. Now, my friend Chris, who is not a Fulham supporter, Kevin, Chris is actually a Liverpool supporter, but for some reason he watches all of my shows because he's a Patriots fan. I do a Patriots podcast as well. So Chris, thank you. Fulham win 2-0. We'll see if that happens. And let's see what we got here. This is with a draw. Okay. I get that as well. So we have a couple of people predicting a draw. All right, time for my prediction. And I've given this a lot of thought, and you know, it's funny because, like I said, Phil actually really ticked me off this morning while I was.
I got to get that, Russ, yeah.
You get that indication, right? But I'm not going to let that cloud my judgment. I go back to the comments from Scott Parker. He's very aware of the importance of this match. And I think the players are. He always talks about concentrating on Fulham, not concentrating on the opponent. But he does play against the opponent. I think he will have this team prepared to play against Bielsa. I think he's going to have a very good game plan. Kevin, I think Fulham are going to win this. I'm going to go 2-1 to Fulham. So I'm going for 2-1. But you know what? It could be this 1-1 draw you're predicting very easily. Could be a Leeds United victory. But what would shock me? Two things would shock me, prediction-wise. You winning 4-0 or you losing 4-0? I can't see that. I can't see a typical Leeds United scoreline here. I think this is going to be a little bit different, and I think Fulham are going to play a role in that, Kevin. Fulham cannot score a lot of goals, and I think they'll be limited in their opportunities, but I think they're going to do a very good job of limiting Leeds United from scoring opportunities as well, because we are very sound defensively with all these clean sheets. The proof is in the pudding. I don't see a drubbing either way. I'm going for a 2-1 Fulham victory.
Okay.
All right. Good stuff. Kevin, listen, I've enjoyed this. I told you we'd do this for about a half hour. We went 50 minutes. So, you know, I've enjoyed our conversation. Always enjoy having you on, Kevin. Can you please tell everyone how that they can follow you on Twitter and reach you?
Yeah, sure. Twitter handle is @LeedsUnited_mad. Yep. Website, www.leedsunited.com.
And Kevin's not mad, by the way.
I'm not mad, no. Angry sometimes, but not mad. But it's always a pleasure to speak to you, Russ. It's one of my enjoyable chats of the season, chatting to you. So hopefully Fulham will be in the same league as us next season.
I certainly hope so, my friend. Yeah. I want to continue to talk to you. And the only way that happens is if Fulham stay in the league, and we can do this again next year, because I've enjoyed all of our conversations. You know, you were on last season, you were on this season, and it sounds like you obviously want Fulham to stay in the league, and partially partially because you want to talk to me, and I like that. I like that. All right. Enough of taking a victory lap for myself, but I do want to wrap up the show for my very special guest, Kevin Markey, on his birthday. I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are on. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.